Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Orgullosamente latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, 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 bang. Don't say nothing. Bang, 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 bang.
We be jumping.
Bang, 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 bang.
Just act like you know and homie, stop.
Welcome to Stompin'. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. G'd up in the feed up, greased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juan. Cálmate un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Cali to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo, man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, yo, get sprayed.
We be dropping.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
We be dropping.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
Just act like you know.
Dude, I was just about to send you it. I'm going to send it to you probably while we're talking. The ratings,
okay,
for Mexico.
Oh,
yeah, we went over.
Yeah, I can see what you guys are doing. You're texting him the ratings in Mexico, so he can casually bring it up in conversation. What a great job you're doing booking there.
No, well, that's usually I send it to Kevin Kleinrock, and Kleinrock sends it to him. He puts it on every on. Where do you put it on your website, or where do you put it, Dave?
It's in the
Observer every week.
I want to start off with this because you spoke about this the other day. Recently I saw you discuss this and listen to the podcast when you were talking about this. And across the board, I want to talk about this. When we talk about, you know, ratings used to be a big conversation, but over the years it really hadn't been because there's no competition on Monday Night, right? And you talked about how, like, this past year, like, the ratings, you know, it's been gradually declining on a yearly basis, it seems like. But this past year was like a marked, like, you know, even greater decline than usual.
The last month has been real down. It's been down like 26%. From the same show, the same weekend the previous year. So yeah, it's been
right. Disco looked that up and it's down. We couldn't believe, Dave, it was down like 25% from the year before.
Bro, I mentioned like 5 years ago, I said that, brother, they're losing 10% of their audience every year, it seems like, ratings-wise. And if you look at the math, that's basically what happens. But this past year was 25% All right. Yep. What do you think the reasons? So some of the reasons for that are.
Oh, I can tell you that the key reason is too much product and 3 hours. No one can sit through the 3 hour show. And what happened, and it's the same thing that's happened with a lot of sports, is that there's so much product put on television that people just get burned out on the product and can't follow it, so the ratings go down because it's not that different. You know, there's more, you know, NBA on TV than ever before because there's more and more money in it. So what you're getting is it's something that's been happening actually since the inception of television with boxing and wrestling in the early 50s, and you know, so many different types of TV shows. Sometimes it was the talk shows, things like that, where a genre gets really, really popular, and then everybody copies it. And in this case, with wrestling, it's like we keep adding hours to it until the audience is just fatigued and they've seen everything. And, you know, you're left with just the hardcores because everybody else is kind of like, when you got to watch 5 hours a week of television on Monday and Tuesday and then 3 hours of a pay-per-view, and sometimes, actually, I shouldn't say three. It used to be three. Now it's closer to four or five and seven for WrestleMania. You know, I mean, unless you're like live and die and wrestling is your entire life, you can't keep up, and then you just kind of move on to other things.
And David, it almost happens like in everything. Anything that gets popular in movies, whether it's, you know, the Marvel series, now everything's CGI and everything's about, you know, bringing out DC comics and Marvel comics and all this other stuff. And it's everybody just want, almost even like podcasting. When I got into the game, like the only people that were in it was like you, Colt Cabana. I don't remember really anybody else, and I'm talking about MLW. Now there's like 9,000 podcasts, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like when anything gets popular, it doesn't matter what it is. It's movies, sports, you know, just there's an oversaturation where everybody wants to make money and everybody wants to jump in.
Yeah, there's also more to it also. I think that the inability to create, you know, and I think that like if you really look at history, like the mega star, sometimes it's a timing thing. It's the right person at the right time, but it's like it's very difficult to just push a button and go, you're a megastar. I mean, it's like sometimes it works, like with The Rock, and because it's the guy and it's the right guy at the right time, or Hulk Hogan or whatever. And other times it's just not at that level. There's just not a guy, you know, Roman Reigns, for better or for worse, he's their pick, but he doesn't, you know, he works really hard. He's a good wrestler, but he doesn't have the charisma. He just doesn't have the charisma of John Cena or The Rock or you know, people that were the top guys in other generations. And that,
what do you think about his t-shirt that says Iowa's best or whatever with like a corn and with like
Seth.
Seth, what do you think of that?
That was Seth Rollins had Iowa's t-shirt. Yeah, because he's from Iowa. That was just for the locals, the local market to sell t-shirts. And
I would wear that t-shirt anywhere, bro. Come on.
Bro, I gotta bring this up. Nobody talks about this. Is it possible? I mean, is it open for discussion that the drastic decrease of ratings can possibly be a result of the fact that they're featuring women in top spots now?
I mean, that's a tough one, because the only way to know that would be to do some shows without them and then to see if it makes a difference. I know in the quarter hours, Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch would do much better than the men. They were real strong. But, I mean, you know,
But here's the thing.
I mean, I can't. I mean, like, as an overall thing, having more women's content on the show as compared to years before.
Well, Dave,
I can't really isolate that one word. I mean, it's absolutely possible. Yeah.
Okay, Dave, no. I want to bring up a point here, though. You just said is that they're featured in more prominent roles. They're doing good ratings, but they're doing good ratings on a week of television that's declining in ratings from the week before. So it's like,
no, I mean,
you know, you can sit there.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, as far as like the amount of time that the women have has been at the same time that the ratings have dropped. Is there a correlation? You can, you know, it's a hard one to argue. I mean, we can't say for sure. But I mean, if I was looking at it from just a pure statistical thing, I mean, I would have to say that's got to be part of the reason. I shouldn't say it has to be, but I can say I think if a normal person would look at those numbers and look at changes and look at that change and go, that's part of the reason. It may not be, but I would say, that it's a, you know, realistically, the drop is bigger than previous years. That could be part of the reason.
Okay.
And maybe even should be.
To continue on that point. So this is what I find has happened in the WWE. I've never seen them happen to them before, but you know, the fan base, and like they're taking political positions now. You know, they had to take a political position in Saudi Arabia. They're taking a political position in this women's revolution, right? But it seems this is the first time. And also you hear stories that Fox is like kind of like making demands on Vince. It's the first time that I've
They haven't yet, but
not yet. But you hear the rumblings.
That will certainly happen if Fox's ratings aren't right. What Fox expects. For sure, that'll happen. Yeah.
Which brings my point. For the first time in their history, I've never seen the WWE being pushed around like they are. You know, it's like because like the fans are kind of pushing them around. They're forcing them into booking things they don't really want to book, and they're kind of scared out of getting out of these directions because they're worried about what the social justice mob might say. Do you think that's a possibility? Do you see that happening?
I actually think there's something to that. I mean, the thing is that you know, before what happened is for a long, long time, for the last couple of years, the fans have wanted one thing and they've wanted another, and they've given the fans exactly what they want to give the fans, and they've, I don't say ignored the fans, but they've ignored the fans to a degree, and then it becomes this pushback. And now we have a situation where there's a rival company and they don't want to be the bad guys, and social media is so prominent. So they don't want to be the bad guy promotion, and these other guys, the AEW becomes the good guys and it opens the door. So they're trying to be the good guy promotion and do what the fans want and give the fans who they cheer for, which probably, you know, in the case of the people who are on top, are probably not the people Vince would choose on his own.
Oh, not at all.
And so, yeah, that's happened. The fans, I mean, even just the littlest thing like the name Viking Experience, which was a dumb name. But if it was 2 years ago and a whole bunch of people complained, this is a dumb name, Vince would have said, so what? You know what I mean? He would have ignored it. I mean, he switched that name the very next week, you know, and it never would have happened before. So, yes, they're listening to the audience more. And
yeah, even the women's revolution came a lot from the audience, too.
The women's
from
revolution
the social
came
media.
A lot from the audience when the audience was just, yeah, give divas a
when
chance.
When they were hashtagging give us a chance or whatever the hashtag was, women's revolution.
Right. Well, I think it really came because in NXT, they were presenting women as more serious athletes, and on the main roster, it was the TNA show, you know, it was all about looks and all about, you know, flimsy costumes and everything. And so the fans who saw it on that show and saw the better quality of wrestling wanted it on the main roster, and, you know, slowly they adapted to it. You know, whether that's good or bad, I mean, I think it's good. I think it's better for wrestling and all that, but as far as ratings go, there's no proof real big other than I mean again,
you can't point to anything in the ratings and say that anything's working. That's no. Right.
Yeah, but I don't think Dave.
I have to say like as far as like Becky Lynch is probably a legitimate bigger star as a woman that they, you know, was homegrown. Forget about Ronda Rousey; she came from another world and was a star that they bought. Than any woman that they've ever had, certainly in the last 15 years.
And so here's the thing with the women's revolution. I think what guys, you know, what people don't like is they still have a lot of women that aren't ready, but they get a chance because they're women and they shouldn't even be on TV. But there is some good women's wrestling. And I also think that women haven't been a detriment in anything else. Why would it be in wrestling? You know, they're getting better parts in movies and stuff like that. And if they're good, they're good, you know? So it's very hard for me to think that's the women's revolution. I just think saturation of the product and not a good product.
Too much. And it's a tired product. I mean, you just watch it. I mean, I just remember like last night's show. And I mean, there's nothing really stands out.
No.
But there was nothing like when the show was over. It's kind of like, you know, we saw a nice three-way match.
You know what was the best part of the show? The Sami Zayn's promo, and that was it.
Well, I thought that was really funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not something that's going to draw ratings. That's just like entertaining us.
But that was the best thing I thought I saw. You know, there was a good match. I liked the match between, what is this called, Joe and Mysterio and Styles. I liked the, you know,
that
seeing,
was
I think,
good, yeah.
Is that the first time Joe and Ray ever wrestled? I'm not joking.
But they only did a 1 minute match.
No, AJ.
Joe and AJ wrestled a million times.
AJ and Ray.
I know that they never wrestled a singles match. I'm not sure. It may have been. Yeah.
Right. It was just kind of cool to see them in the ring together. You know what I'm saying? And Joe has great chemistry with both of them. So that match is good. But nothing that you're like, wow. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that really stuck out after 3 hours.
Yeah. It's hard when you don't have the larger-than-life stars, because then you don't have the dream matches that you're building to. You kind of had that at WrestleMania with the Rousey match with Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, but that one, like, there were so many twists and turns in the booking that went off the rails before they did get it back by the end, but it felt like it peaked early, and then it kind of came back in the last week, but kind of in the middle, it was kind of...
Yeah, that was not a WrestleMania main event.
Well, you didn't have main eventers working in the match is a problem. You know, WrestleMania main events have been guys that, like, you know, been main eventing shows and house shows and stuff for a considerable amount of time. You know what I'm saying? That was kind of like, you know, put together because the fans were kind of behind Becky and they had to throw it out there and, like, put it on top. You know, I mean, I thought it was a rush.
Also, though, it was the biggest match that they had because, right. I mean, Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston, which ended up being the second biggest match, was something that just kind of fell into their arms, you know, at the last minute because it was originally going to be Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens, which was a cold match. So part of it is like, yes, was this as big as some of the classic WrestleManias of the past? No. But it was also the biggest thing they had. They had nothing else.
Yeah.
They just didn't, for whatever reason, things didn't, you know, there was nothing else that they really had. I mean, they had Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, which was fine, but it wasn't as big as the women's match.
I got a question. Do you think the lack of sex appeal is hurting the product? Because, like, here's the thing. Okay, because the women are all kind of like, it's almost taboo to, like, kind of like look at a woman like objectifying like a hot girl on the show. And it's like, even though you see
I think people look at that constantly, actually.
But you can't really say anything. Right, exactly. Here's my point.
I think it's one of the reasons that Alexa Bliss gets so much TV time.
Yeah, but you can't really say anything. Like, if you say,
if we say too much, then we're going to be criticized. Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I remember one time your friend Vince Russo actually put, I'd like to spank Alexa Bliss. Was that it?
No, it hit beat her with a kendo, because she was hitting with a kendo stick. I like her to hit me with a kendo stick. Mm-hmm. And, like, the whole mob got on, like, oh, my God, that's perfect, you know, and I'm like, oh, Jesus.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Tired of wasting time and money on starvation diets that lead to more frustration and stress? If there was a weight loss solution that could actually work for you, would you try it? Then head to Golo.com.
I'm Steve. I lost 138 pounds in 9 months on Golo.
I'm Amber. I've lost 128 pounds with Golo Taking Release.
If you're ready to take back control of your life, head to Golo.com now and see how Golo can work for you. That's Golo.com.
My sleep is way better. My inflammation has gone way down. Golo saved my life. I was way overweight. That's what sent me down the path. I wanted to make sure and live for my kid.
I have literally tried everything. I was on the verge of getting gastric bypass surgery, and I saw the Golo commercial, and it was the last thing I tried because it worked.
Join over 2 million people who have found a better way to lose weight with Golo. Your healthier and happier life begins at Golo.com. That's Golo.com. Again, Golo.com.
So, Conan.
What up?
I've been training, and right. I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every day. What a product. Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Okay, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I was taking, I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high-quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it. There's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like, it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out, and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate, just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it, and sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great, and you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym, you know. It works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high-quality ingredients, all in one. It's a comprehensive solution, and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan. That's athleticgreens.com/KONAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this type of product that if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All three of us use it. We all swear by it.
But check that out at athleticgreens.com/Conair.
Boom.
But
geez,
the thing
I'll tell you what, I remember this one. This one really was like, this is really weird. Remember when Jericho did his cruise, and he said that like there's 30% women or something aboard, right, have cabins,
yeah,
or
yeah,
some number,
right, right.
And he goes, they're like women, you know, 18 to 34, which means bikinis, and he just got people, you're saying there's going to be women in bikinis, and you're advertising that, and it's like, geez, he's advertising a freaking cruise.
Right.
Bro, guess
hell?
Who started that?
You know who that was. That was your boy, Ryan Satin. That was that whole thing. And like, Chris was squashing and cut the, and I'm cutting a promo on him.
And then he was,
you know, that, yeah, cut on Instagram.
He got banned from the cruise.
Here's a point I want to make. Did you say this, that you think the WWE doesn't need like hot girls that don't know how to work well? That they needed like.
Yeah, I think that you don't want. I mean, but no, I'm not saying as far as in the ring doing matches, yes. As far as can you have them in other roles, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But as far as do we want to see really bad wrestling matches with, at this point, I don't think that works anymore. No. No. I mean, if you put someone in just because they're a model and then you have them do a real bad match, I think it's a major turnoff, because I haven't seen a match like that get any kind of crowd reaction in a long time.
I've said that too, but I'll disagree with most of the fans out there that still watch. Is I think a lot of the girls that people think are serviceable workers on the show lose their sex appeal when they work. A lot of these girls out there, they do, like I said, they do too much stuff to kind of like, they come across as clumsy sometimes and stuff. To me, that loses sex appeal. I think it hurts them from a marketing standpoint. When they put, you know, they put girls out there, they make them wrestle so much. It's like, what happened to the valet? Why is the valet such a position on the show now that is not respected? That is not. I don't get that. Do you understand that?
That's Vince, though. That's Vince. Vince got rid of seconds and managers. You know, not completely, but you know, because they got Leo Rush in there now and stuff. And every now and then they'll bring guys in. But yeah, that whole era, it's just. Vince didn't believe in managers, and now with the women, I don't think he believes in women managers so much either. So he's presenting everybody as wrestlers.
That's weird. Some of the best, you know, characters. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, personally, I think that it's hurt things because Zelina Vega and Lana, in particular, I think were far more effective as not wrestlers. Lana in particular, I thought Lana was 100%. Great in her role with Rusev, and the minute they made her a wrestler, she was just another woman on the show,
right.
Whereas as a manager, she was the only one who was different. And I think she's not the star that she was, and it's because they tried to make her a wrestler. If they kept her and Rusev together with the old act, they'd both be way more over than they are.
Bro, how brutal was it when they made her lose her accent and she was showing up in matching jeans with Ziggler?
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Bro, I mean, the whole thing that goes on in that company right now is, you got, how old is Vince? What is he, 70?
Vince is 77. He's going to be 74 this summer, so he's 73.
You got a 74-year-old man from New York, from rich part of Stamford, Connecticut, okay, up north, and he, for 50 years, he's seen what's happened over the course of time in wrestling. He had Hulk Hogan, Ultimate War, all these larger-than-life guys, but now he sees, like, this new generation of wrestlers. They're smaller, they're more athletic, and everything, and I just think Vince...
just kind of is refusing to give in to the way the trends have gone. And like, he's still insistent that like, okay, hey, these, you know, these big guys, I'm going to push. And it's like,
that's what made him money. That's what he knows.
Right, exactly. But I think
that's what he knows, and that's what he's going to think. And Triple H is a bigger than usual guy. So, you know, and a bodybuilder to boot. So they're going to favor that to a degree. I mean, they're more open-minded than they were 5 years ago because of, you know, I think a lot due to like Bryan Danielson and CM Punk and people like that. But yeah, when push comes to shove, I mean, there's definitely still people on top who look and just go, can this guy be a WrestleMania main event? And that word means, you know, you've got the right look more than, you know, the wrestling work.
Yeah,
and, you know, again, because like a lot of the times we talk about like the big stars and a lot of it's the promos, but you know, Roman Reigns is an average promo and they went all the way with him because it's, you know, and he is a good worker, but the reason that they chose him was because, you know, he had good size, good athlete and a good look. And they chose him, and the people know they chose him, which really hurt him a lot, you know, for years.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Disco, the only thing that he doesn't like about The Observer is he feels sometimes, instead of being a journalist, you throw in your, what is it, editorial privilege, Disco?
No,
I'm going to comment on what I observe. That's like the whole nature of the beast.
Of course. I've said that repeatedly. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm saying that.
Yes, you have decided there is something wrong with that. That's why I'm bringing it up.
No. Well, here's the thing. It's like when opinion on like on subjective things like what wrestlers you think are good or what match you like, you know, what promotion, you know, that's a subjective opinion. But like to sit there and say like, you know, like you'll make the comment that the Japanese wrestling is the best wrestling on the planet right now. Okay, and
I don't think I've ever said that. I do think New Japan's got real strong main events for the most part, you know, probably stronger than, I mean, I would say last year stronger than any other promotion. You know, things are catching up and changing. There's a lot of great matches in the UK right now and on the US scene too. So, but yeah, I think the highest quality matches, to me, my opinion, New Japan. But, you know, you look at most polls when it comes to, you know, people who watch everything all over the world. It's usually the Japanese matches that rank the highest. So it's not just my opinion. It's kind of a consensus.
Let me ask you a question too. How much time does it take you to watch everything? Like, what are you watching? How many hours do you have to put in?
I try to watch, and then writing. I spend all day writing, but I try to watch everything that people recommend, and I never catch up. I mean, especially now with like a lot of the UK stuff, you know, people will send me like, you know, links to stuff, and it's, you know, four or five matches a day, and I go, okay, tonight I'm gonna watch it, and then I run out of time, and I don't, and then I get weeks behind, so it's. It's nobody, you know, nobody with a job can keep up with like all the good wrestling. It's impossible.
Do you try to watch it? Do you consider yourself a critic or a fan? And when you watch a match, do you try to watch it could you catch yourself watching it as a critic or a fan?
I don't really put stigmas on. I watch it to see if it moves the audience and see if it's exciting.
Because
I don't think
as a critic too much, but to a degree, I mean, there's a little bit to it if it looks really bad, but I think that's also as a fan. When I watch a match as a fan and it looks really bad, I don't like it. So it's,
but Dave,
that's a real hard one to say. I mean,
here's something that you don't, cause I always, I always used to tell, Disco that I always used to look at your ratings. I didn't care. I don't rate matches myself like 3 stars, 4 stars. They're either good, very good, not that good. That's how I rate them.
That's the same. But, it's still the same thing.
Yeah, right. But you use a star system. So I always used to go to when I wanted to know if a match was good, I'd just go to the Observer, and if something was 3 3/4 stars or more, I'd usually watch it. Okay, and yeah. But one of the things that me and him were talking about that I don't think you ever take into account, and you should, but maybe this isn't part of the, you know, parameters or whatever, is like there are matches that, yeah, they're not that good, but the people are really, really into them. And you never
I always bring that up.
Do you?
I always will bring, if this match is really over or this match is technically good, but the people aren't reacting, especially now. Yeah, I always write about that.
But will you give it a higher rating because the people are really into it, is what I'm saying? Or you'll just mention
it? It depends on the situation. I mean, generally speaking, yes. Sometimes maybe no, if it's one of those things where if two guys come to the ring and they're already over and there's nothing that they do in the match that gets them more over than their ring entrance, but their match gets good reaction, I don't necessarily think that that proves that the match is good. It proves that they're over. If guys come out with a moderate reaction and end up at the end of their match, you know, with the people going crazy, I'll always take that into account big time because that's the job they're trying to do.
Yeah. I think, Dave, I think you would get a different perspective on professional wrestling if you took a period of time out, let's say 1 month, all right, and watched whatever you watch, like the stuff that you have to watch, okay, that when you're watching it, if it gets bad enough for you that you just – and you can't watch it more, that you actually just stop, don't watch the rest. Okay, because I think the thing is
I can't do that, unfortunately.
That's the thing. Here's the thing. I think this is where your perspective on wrestling –
I know. Unlike the viewers, I'm not allowed to turn off Raw and I'm not allowed to turn off SmackDown. During the bad matches, I can't fast forward through them.
Well, why that's not? How he makes his living. Because that's how he makes his living. You can't say I just saw half a match.
But let me ask you a question. Don't you think that maybe if you said like, hey, this week, what if you said I quit watching? It was so bad. And like, what do you think the fans would say? I don't think it'd be a negative response.
I wouldn't do that. So I've never really thought about it. I mean, it's like, I'm going to watch. I mean, that's my job. I mean, especially when it comes to, WWE big shows, it's just like, that's just the job I signed up for. And, you know, again, I'm entertained by a lot of it. I don't consider it like a horrible job, you know, a horrible part of the job. But, you know, I mean, would I like it better if these shows were 90 minutes? Hell yeah. And I think everyone would. But we're just in an environment with TV rights where it's just not going to happen. You know, it's just it's one of those things. It's like what we said kind of from the very beginning is we're in this situation where we are going to be whittling away viewers. Even if like creative got better, you know, you gave people great matches and all that, we're still going to be whittling away viewers just because the average person doesn't have that amount of time to watch it and they're going to get burned out. And by doing that, what you're doing is you're taking the short-term money while eroding your fan base at the same time. But this has always been a short-term thinking business. And, you know, in the long run, we're gambling on the idea that this TV money is always going to be there no matter what, and we're always going to have this base audience because wrestling inherently can be really, really entertaining and fun, and that we'll be okay while we're making lots of money right now. So that's kind of the mentality. Somebody else might go, I'm in this for the long haul. I see this audience eroding. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to cut my profits way, way back, knowing that I'm going to keep my fan base probably at a higher retention level, and it's better for me in the long run. But the stockholders, you know, they're a public company, so they can't do that anyway. But yeah, there is that theory. I mean, I look at the numbers, and it's kind of like that's like, you know, what do you do? And it's like, you know, because these declines, I mean, it's been a decline to a certain degree anyway, but the big declines did come when the show went to 3 hours, especially the declines during the show. That's a new phenomenon. And, you know, when it was a two-hour show, the last segment, almost every single week, the last segment was that.
Now, I
just thought of this as you were talking and having this conversation. You're talking about all the TV, you know, how many hours of TV has been on in the last 20 years of professional wrestling between WWE, all the programming? And, like, the creative is really bad these days. Do you think, like, because the universe is basically an audience with, you know, it's an arena with fans and a backstage that literally maybe they've done everything you could possibly do creatively and it's very difficult to think of anything else to do?
Oh, I think it's real difficult to think of anything new. But I think that, you know, again, you can say that about the NBA and you can say that about the NFL. But the reality is that you get a hot team or a hot player or something like that. Yeah. And things are fine. I mean, what's more boring than golf? But look what happened when Tiger Woods got, you know, came back. There was a great story that everyone in the world wanted to see. Yeah. So it really is. It's all about personalities and story. You know, it's just hard. You know, it's got to be the right personality and the right story. And it's tough to the way that they book where everybody wins and everybody loses all the time. And there's no superheroes. It's hard to make a superhero.
That's hurt them a lot.
Thing with sports is the sports inherently, you know, is gonna have a LeBron James. Whereas with WWE, you know, they don't. They haven't had a LeBron James since who? I mean, Cena really wasn't. I mean, probably since The Rock.
Yo, Conan and Joe.
Ew. Breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Manscaped helps you get the golden rod of a Greek god. Now they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use our code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It will take your facial hair anywhere from Gandalf, the Great Wizard, to Totally Bear. You can even look like the ZZ Top guys if you want to. LaGrange, great song. You agree, Conan?
Tremendous.
It all starts with the Beard Hedger, and this thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. It's waterproof, and its cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths, all with just one guard. Perfect. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. And now you heard that. No more drawers full of 20 different guards. It's just Thank one God. Guard. Perfect, yeah. So with 20 lengths, it's never so easy to find your beard look. Plus, the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on the hair but smooth on your face. Do you know that I'm slim in the waist but cute in the face? Would you agree to that?
You are a Southern belle.
Yeah, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer, Joe. It comes with four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. And it has the beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different. Your bearded hair is much more coarse and easier to damage. That's why they get a shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils, promoting beard health. Well, then they have the beard oil, too. And this nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And they cap it off with the beard balm. So pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. Fantastic. And the beard kit also comes with three free gifts. Guess what they are? A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with their code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code K100.
To Manscaped, which we love your products. We use them. We swear by them, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Sami Zayn follows you on Twitter, right?
Right.
You guys follow each other? Why don't you DM him our promo code here and see if he can
if he's interested.
Yeah, Manscaped. He's interested in that for his beard, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, I think right? That's part of his personality right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so check out Manscaped. That brings you the most comfortable underwear you've ever tried. They got this leather bag that's awesome. Everything they do is high quality. So check out all their products at Manscaped. Boom.
Let me ask you a question. What was the backstage? What was the deal with when they brought all those NXT guys up a month ago or so, whatever it was, and they brought them all up at one time, no vignette, no nothing, just threw them out there on the show. Was there a backstory why they did that, like with Vince and Hunter
Vince
or something?
Just, Vince woke up one day and goes, "We need some new guys. Who's really good there?" I mean, he had guys that Hunter was doing a feud with and brought them up as a tag team because he didn't care. So he brought who he thought or who was told were the top four guys there, and he brought them up right away because that week we need new faces and we need to have these new faces win every time. So he spent and you know what ends up happening is you get. It was Gargano, Gargano, Ciampa, Black, and Ricochet. So Ciampa gets hurt right away because he's already injured, and it was, in hindsight, a terrible move to bring him up when his neck was so messed up. Then they decide without Ciampa, we don't want Gargano. So Gargano's now off TV after a bunch of wins. So you're left with Black and Ricochet, who they kept winning. You know, they kept having them win constantly. And then they split up them, and now, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with them as a single. I mean, Ricochet lost to Bobby Roode. That tells me that you know, they were Vince's shiny new toys, and now he's looking for new toys. And
after a month.
Well, not just that. Like, you know, he did absolutely nothing to get him over. First of all, he introduced him like a bunch of just anybody out of, you know, I know it was a last-minute decision, but the way they were introduced was so bland and so, you know, uninspiring.
It's like they're introduced like a football team coming out. Like, here's the quarter. You're like, you're announcing the guy. Well, you know, and then he's running through the bed. Just ran out of the show, you know?
Here's the other part. Dave, if you were like a fan that hadn't watched WWE in a while and you didn't know what the fuck NXT was, and you were watching Ricochet for the first time, you'd have no idea this is like the most gifted wrestler, you know, high flyer since Rey Mysterio. He's not really doing anything. And even, and I like Aleister Black, but even when they were giving the hot tag, they were giving it to Black, not to Ricochet. And this happened like three times, not once.
Yeah.
It's like everything was so, you know, done wrong from the very beginning, and then they lose confidence, and then when these guys aren't getting over immediately, well, yeah, you didn't put them in a position to get over either.
Yep. And then they don't, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the thing is that if you're put in there with middle guys, the people think you're a middle guy. If you're put in there with – see, now, the thing they're doing with Lacey Evans, they're trying a different approach, because with her, they're putting her in there with the top girl right away.
Yeah, right. That never works either. That never works. That always like I'll throw a prediction out. 6 weeks from now, she'll just be in the middle of the card wrestling Ruby Riot and stuff. The way they book, they don't. Here's what they do, and like me and Tony have talked about this. They repeat all the time in the show. They have a very clever way of burying people. They start getting you over a little bit. And then you literally hit the glass ceiling, but the glass ceiling is way lower than where you think it should be. And they just they literally just bury people, and like they never let.
Yeah, whatever happened to Dolph Ziggler? Whatever happened to him?
He's on a vacation.
Okay,
you know,
what
doing stand up? You know, they wanted him to be an agent, and he didn't really want to be an agent. So
why would he be an agent? The guy's super over.
Yeah.
Why?
It's like that's crazy, right?
Vince never saw anything in him, and
Then why do you keep re-signing him for millions of dollars or whatever? You know what I'm saying?
They don't want him going anywhere else,
bro.
He's not that good.
Think about this.
This is the thing, and I think this has to do with the fact that they don't cut anybody anymore, unless it's for disciplinary reasons. Is because if they cut somebody, I mean, they did let Ty Dillinger go, but it's a guy who I think that in their minds wasn't going to do anything. Mm-hmm. So I think that their mentality is like, well, just example, Cody, okay? They didn't do anything with Cody. Cody left. Cody became a big star. I don't think they want that, because then it looks like you had this guy and he was in the second match, and now he's running around all over the world and he's a big deal. And it's like, what does that say? I don't think they want that second guessing and go like, you know, like Luke Harper, you know, all of a sudden go somewhere else and
they're going to have to let.
I don't think they want that people going, hey, you had this guy for 7 years, did nothing with him. What is it? How can you be this creative genius that everyone says you are?
Get ready for that to happen, because they have so much talent that they're not going to be able to keep happy, and they're going to start leaving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see guys wanting to leave, give notice every week, it seems like.
Right.
Hey, let me ask you a question. What do you know about the AEW structure? They're going on TNT. Did they announce they're going on TNT, or is that still just that announcement
official?
They
haven't signed that contract yet, unless it's been signed in the last 2 days, and I doubt it has.
Okay, but, here's my question: when you go to like the wrestlers that go to the show, who's the finish guy? Like, who's the one booking the show right now? Who's in charge of like who's calling the shots?
I'll find out when they do the show in Vegas. But I think my guess is it's a collaborative effort with the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Cody. But we'll find out who's going to end up being the alpha in that group, or who's going to have the most say-so, or if it's going to be other. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's Tony Khan. I mean, in the reality of it is, because Tony Khan is the guy paying the checks, and Tony Khan's going to have a lot of input, because he's written a lot of stuff. So, I mean, at the end of the day, who's going to, as far as, you know, the details and everything's like that, I mean, it's going to be all those guys, and how it all shakes out, I don't know yet.
Well, here's the thing, is like, do they have, like, you know those guys, right? And is everybody kind of on the same page, like, creatively? Or does everybody kind of still have their own ideas and stuff? Or, you know,
I don't talk to anyone there about creative.
Right.
Maybe when it gets going, I will. But I haven't, like, at all.
Here's what's going to be hard, Dave.
Let me tell you, because Conan knows this, too. And this is, like, this is things that, like, sometimes you have major creative differences, right? So when we were booking... when it was me, Vince, Dutch, and Jeff at TNA, right? And, like, this was a major creative difference. Jeff insisted that we had to explain why the camera was in the back, okay?
And this was always just like, even with Dutch, Dutch didn't really like me, Vincent, it's like Jeff, the camera's just there. This is going to inhibit, obviously it's very inhibitive to the type of backstage stuff you can shoot because you always have to explain the camera's there. But I just wonder if like, they're like the guys that together, like the Bucks and all those guys, if they have any like major creative differences like that, or they all kind of just like see, you know, oh, like,
I don't know. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's Tony Khan.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's going to be the one. He's Jeff. He's the owner.
Right.
You know, and how much he's going to do. I mean, he's got other jobs, obviously. He's running a soccer team and he's got his other businesses. So I don't know how much. But he loves wrestling. He loves to talk wrestling. He loves to think wrestling. So he's going to have more input than people think.
Yeah, he's a sharp guy. I talked to him before, a sharp guy. And I just think that since they're all friends anyways, you know, it's almost like a whole bunch of your friends are going to be booking this together. So they're already friends. It ain't like you're hiring people from outside and they have their agendas. But and of course, there will be creative differences.
I think that everyone, if they have an idea, is going to kind of get a chance. I mean, and, you know, again, long term, you know, there's always going to be disagreements. If things go smooth, you know, because they did that one show, the Labor Day show, that was a big success, and I never heard of any problems with anything as far as like, you know, what they were going to do and everything like that, because everything was roses, right? When you know, you're running a weekly television show, when you're getting ratings and things like that, there's going to be ups and downs, and there's going to be analysis, whether it's from Tony Khan or every one of those guys, and that's when you're going to, you know, inherently there's going to be some things, but
yeah, there'll be more stress. What I think is hard, Dave, is for them, because I've tried this before and it's very hard, it's for them to be wrestling on a show they're actually agenting and giving out, you know, finishes and stuff like that.
Well, you know this better than anyone, because you're one of the few people in the world who has done, you know, every part
everything,
of that creative and wrestling process in multiple companies all over North America. And the other part is that while those are all smart guys, and they'll be the first to tell you, they are all inexperienced in this. This is the first time they've done it. And you would know, I mean, when you were younger and you were first involved in creative, you may have been really, really creative, but there's also things when you look back and go, man, I didn't get this, or I didn't get this, or I wish I didn't do this. And they're going to look back, you know, in 15 years and say the same thing, because it is new for them.
Right. I got a question. Did you watch, obviously you probably watched the Viceland docs. Did you see the Brody doc?
Saw the Brody doc. Yeah.
Okay. I got a question. Somebody was telling me this, cause they were telling me this yesterday. I was going to just ask you, cause you knew we were having you on. Was there, with Tony Ellis's version of the story, somebody told me that, Manny Fernandez was calling bullshit on that. Do you know anything about that?
No, but Manny Fernandez wasn't even there then.
Right.
I mean, Tony Atlas, the version of the story, see, I've seen so much of the Tony Atlas stuff, but I mean, the Tony Atlas story that he told on the High Spots Brody doc was very, very similar, if not exact, to the story that he told people 20 or 30, now it's 30 years ago, 30 years ago. So he's been pretty consistent. You know, in time, things happen and stories are going to change minorly. It's just, that's just the nature of reality, especially when you get old. But It's. I think the gist of the story is pretty much the same. There might be a little some memories, and then people will jump on those. And it's like, it is 30 years ago. I don't remember things from 30 years ago perfect. I was remembering some scene in my life, from what was it, 1994, and I said, and I remembered this song because I heard the song in the radio. Goes, oh, this is like the scene. This is like what I was doing when I heard this song, okay? It was on in the car like 2 weeks ago. And so I just kind of assumed, oh, yeah, this song, I remember what I was doing then. And then for whatever reason, I looked up the song, and the song came out in 95. So it's like, wow, my memory was a little bit off. And that shit happens.
Conan.
What up?
You may have noticed an increase in articles, videos, and posts recently talking about the health risks of inadequate sleep. Well, if you've been listening to this show, you know that Legacy Sports Nutrition has been telling you guys that for years. Do you want less belly fat, more testosterone, more energy, better mood? There's one hack that doesn't require a change in diet or more exercise. Improve your sleep with Recovery PM. My favorite product from Legacy Sports Nutrition, Joe's too. Take two Recovery PM about an hour before bed and feel the difference in the quality of sleep you get, and after a couple of weeks, you'll notice how everything else is improving. Recovery PM is a top-selling product at LegacySubs.com, and that's because over 80% of the people that buy it once come back for more. That's not marketing, that's results. So Joe's been using it. Feels great. He's nice. He's at a party right now. So Joe gets so much sleep. Good sleep. He's able to go out to parties, surprise birthday parties on Friday nights.
Right, and I show up on the show. Yeah.
Right. So try it now. You won't regret it. Go to LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com or RecoveryPM.com. That's RecoveryPM.com. And use code K100 for an extra 10% off your order. And of course, using code K100 supports this show too. Level up your life with RecoveryPM now from Legacy Sports Nutrition or boy Nick Aldis.
And I don't use the all-in-one, but I'm going to. I use the nighttime fat burner, which has done, which has been very effective. Check out for fat burning, for muscle gain, for anything that you can imagine. They have Legacy Subs for men and Legacy Subs for women. Check that out at LegacySubs.com. Boom.
You know, let me see if you got the same feeling I did when I was watching that, and they were just telling the story of Abdul the Butcher versus Bruiser Brody, you know, the wild man from the Sudan versus this, and they're showing the clips, they're showing the footage, and they're talking about like how the people, you know, were scared of those two, like
they
for a shoot. You know, you're right, exactly. Brody, does it kind of?
I've been dealing with Brody and Abdul the Butcher, and I was scared too.
Here's the thing. Do you think kind of like wrestling fans today, like the way they act? Like, they never grew up in that era. So it's kind of like, you know, we went – there was always – even the people that knew it was a shoot, the suspension of disbelief was always kind of in the right place back then because you had monsters and animals and guys that were crazy that you were scared of. I don't – is it kind of disappointing that we don't really see that anymore today?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, things – you know, but things always change. But, yeah, there's – I mean, it's like if you're a big heel and you get in somebody's face at ringside, they know that they can laugh at you because they could sue you and you're not going to really hit them. When it was Bruiser Brody, even though that was the same thing, I don't think they knew as much. When it was Abdul the Butcher, yeah. I don't think it even occurred to them that Abdul the Butcher would care about being
everybody
sued.
Scattered. Didn't do it. Everybody ran out of the way. Right.
Yeah, you didn't do that. I mean, you didn't see.
Bro, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this, Dave. I never tell you this story. So I went once in Miami to see a wrestling match, right? And Dick Murdoch was there. And I went and I asked him for an autograph. I was probably 8 years old, and he told me no. And, you know, I left pissed. So that was a heel. You know, today they're trying to sell T-shirts and hey, and they're taking pictures, and nobody wants to suspend that aura. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. It's a different business.
Yeah.
There are good things that have been lost in changes in the business, you know,
yes.
And there's things that are better in changes in the business. I mean, you know, in a sense, it's probably real good that you're a heel and you don't have to worry about anyone shooting you or stabbing you, because guys really did get shot at very rarely, but it happened. Guys got stabbed a little bit more, but it was rare, but it absolutely, Roddy Piper got stabbed, Ole Anderson got stabbed. Mulligan got stabbed.
I got spit on at the Omni in Atlanta as a fan for standing and applauding the Four Horsemen. I mean, like, bro,
this is the best part of the show, Dave, where Disco freezes up. Did Dave also freeze up?
No, I'm here.
Okay, so Dave, go ahead. What are you going to say, Joe?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, he'll probably be right back.
Dave, hello,
yes.
Dave.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I got one last question here. What's a promotion that, you know, people have sent you or maybe that you saw in WrestleMania that's really different that people should check out?
You mean I think All Japan is really good right now.
Really?
I think some of the UK groups, a lot of the Americans don't know. I think
like which ones?
I think TNA or Impact. Impact's much better now that there no one's seeing them, unfortunately. Because I
know
the show on Friday night. I really like the show.
Yeah, the show is very.
You know, they're a lot better. Your stuff in AAA is a lot better than it was 2 years ago. My God, you know. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, most stuff. You know, what's funny is most stuff is pretty good right now because. You know, like the wrestlers are more. I think the wrestlers are hungry isn't the word, but you're able to learn from more things because so much is available.
Right, there's more learning tools.
That there's a different kind, and you know this better than anyone. I mean, as far as because you're the one you know, you're the one who finds these guys that are, you know, super creative, but they're not necessarily great wrestlers. But the thing is that if you get them young and then you teach them, they can be great wrestlers. Because like the one that was with the Private Party, which was the tag team that AEW just signed, okay?
Right.
I watched some clips of them, and it's like they do unbelievable things in the ring, like those opening match guys that from Tijuana type of stuff. It's just unbelievable. But they're not great wrestlers. But and you know, like, people are going like, oh, they signed these green guys. And it's like, I would sign them too, because if they're around really good wrestlers with their athletic ability and creativity,
in 3 years they're going to be incredible.
Yeah, because that's what Ray was. I mean, that's
right.
It's like, I think people don't understand like what Ray and Psicosis and these guys, when they first started and where they, you know, I mean,
right.
It's like
they were like 17 years old. Yeah.
But if you've got that, and then you learn to be polished, you know, you can become an all-time great.
Well, you can put a high spot on Twitter these days, and you know, and get work. Because people think you're serious. It's like Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you're right. I know what you're going to say, but
gimmick.
or
a weird gimmick. Like,
well,
Joey,
I think the thing too is like the Twitter. I don't know if it's good for the business or not. Okay, it's good for promoting the business, but like, we're constantly putting crazy stuff up on Twitter, and it's like backyard ref. People are doing stuff in their backyard, or like the up and coming wrestlers are seeing like this is the way you get famous. And I think we could do a whole podcast on that. But I think it's a dangerous path.
Well,
but,
idiots clout chasing or trying to get likes and views, that's going to happen forever. You know what I'm saying? They just have a platform on which to do it on and maybe even monetize it. Dave, what do you got going on coming up? Starcast, any one-man shows, or what is it that you got going on?
I'm doing a show at Starcast. Brian and I are doing one show, but I think the tickets are all gone. But we're doing the show with Conrad, where I'm sure that there's going to be tickets available and everything like that. So that'll be in Vegas.
I may make an unannounced run-in with Disco.
But that's really the only thing. I don't have anything else as far as going on the road and doing stuff. You know, I'm going to PWG in the next show, which I don't even know who's on the card because it's Mystery Vortex.
Oh, it's that Ultra Vortex thing?
Yeah. Where you don't even know who's going to be there. And, you know, so but I go there to hang out with my friends and watch like really great wrestling, because it's PWG is just, you know, you've been there. It's just like fun from start to finish.
Yeah.
Dave, weren't you announced?
Plus, you're super over there. Go ahead.
Dave, weren't you announced for the next Jericho Cruise as well?
Yeah, I am going to the Jericho Cruise. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. That's going to be tough because I'm going to be coming back. I'm planning on going to Japan with my son for New Year's, and then coming right back and going on the cruise. But yeah, very much so. And I hear that his tickets are going real, real well. I'm really looking forward to the Jericho Cruise, though.
Bro, let me tell you.
Jericho Cruise?
I don't know yet, but I will tell you this, which will be very frustrating for you. you're going to love the cruise, okay? But the internet on there is absolutely terrible. Be ready to be 3 to 4 days incommunicado.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
That's tough for me.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I'm sure
it was very tough for me.
You went on last year, and that had to kill you because you were working for all these. You have to be in communication with people.
Yeah, it killed me, bro. It was brutal. That's
I think
not
it's
going
to be funny if you'd actually talked him out of going on the cruise. That'd be funny. just tell them you don't have your passport.
That's what happened with Disco, and Jericho ended up walking up, because it was like around Halloween, it was like in October, he ended up doing a set dressed up as a Disco Inferno with a tremendously big Toucan Sam nose, which
was
tremendous.
Tremendously disrespectful is what it was.
Do you want to plug your podcast, The Observer, Dave?
Yeah. So Brian Alvarez and I, and also Garrett Gonzalez and I, do shows multiple times a week.
Who's the third guy?
Garrett Gonzalez. You know,
who's
Nolan?
That?
We haven't done a show with together yet.
Who?
Oh, he's my he's like one of my best friends.
Who? Garrett Gonzalez.
Garrett Gonzalez. Yeah.
Who? Where's he from?
He's from San Jose. I've known him for years.
Does he?
You know,
okay.
Does
he have a podcast of his own?
No.
Hook him up with Joe. he'll give a podcast on the Creative Control Network.
Absolutely.
He actually does a fight game blog on his own, which is a, you know, like a boxing and pro wrestling an MMA thing. And so when we do the show, when I do the show with Brian, it's like mostly pro wrestling and MMA. When I do it with Garrett, we'll talk NBA and we'll talk, because he's a super big basketball fan, we'll talk boxing and, you know, baseball a little bit. Not that much, but a little bit. You know, so it's more, the stuff with Brian and I is more like heavy, heavy wrestling. And the stuff with Garrett and I is like people describe it as like, you know, two friends just, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, talking about the news of the day and anything else that pops up when that may not be news. So it's a different, it's a completely different vibe.
When you and Brian do Raw reviews, do you have more downloads when the show is terrible or when it's great?
I have no idea. I think when it's great though. I think when it's terrible, people don't want to hear about how terrible it is for a long period of time.
Oh, also, before we go, can we talk about the Bray Wyatt character that
yeah,
news
sure.
they did?
What the hell was that?
I don't know. It's like it's week one. So I thought Bray Wyatt himself was great in the segment, but it's like every WWE character, it's like you kind of don't know where it's going to go. So it's like, I mean, it's new and it's different and
it's super risky.
Thing.
It's super risky. Given the political climate today and the way the trolls are on the internet, that they're going to, if anybody starts getting some like traction where there starts to say, oh, this guy's just a pervert. What are you trying to do for you? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's a very difficult character to do in this day and age. 20 years ago, no problem. But I think there's too many people that are just willing to complain about, you know, with fake outrage and stuff that are going to be offended by a character like this. That's my opinion.
Depends on what he does. But it was interesting to me because it was different.
Oh, definitely.
I always like different, but I don't know. I don't like, again, it was when it was over, it's like, is this going to make it? And it's like, man, I need to see this for about another month before I can figure out if it's going to make it, because I really didn't have a clue when it was over. There was a part of me that goes, you know, are they, you know, like kids aren't going to like it. But then again, this is not a kid's audience. Will adults like this, you know, kind of?
What do you
like
mean it's not a kid's audience? I think it is. Isn't WWE a kid's audience, kind
they
of?
They try to be, but they don't appeal to kids. That's the problem. If they appeal to kids.
No, it's unbelievable. Yeah. They write a show for kids.
That's tremendous. Kids are like,
they write a show for kids. It's supposed to be for an 18 to 34-year-old male audience. And what you see is like utter just confusion every week by people like us. They're going like, what are they doing? You know, that's
well,
what you
I
get.
Will say, so. I will say this. Okay. When they drew the most kids was when they said that they weren't writing for kids. And that taught me that kids don't want to be written to. They want, they will react to something really good and charismatic that's not written for them. I mean, like, cause there was never more kids watching than when The Rock and Stone Cold were, you know, on top, you know, and Stone Cold,
like, kids like,
you know,
they were both doing
as, you know, risque stuff.
Yeah, and then you go to shows and 8-year-old kids are in the audience flicking people off. You know,
not only that, I think kids
want
to watch.
It becomes one of those things. So then it becomes one of those things where they go like, "Oh, you know, you got all these kids, so you got to tone it down." But then the kids don't want to go anymore because it's just like normal stuff. I mean, I think
perfect
kids
example.
Get off on that stuff. Yeah,
Joey Ryan says the biggest fans of his
game
are the little kids.
Don't want you to go. You sneak in your bedroom and you watch it on TV because your parents don't want you to. Because like, don't you watch that stuff? Now, parents, they don't, you know, go watch it, but why would I want to watch that, you know?
Right, like Joey Ryan said, the biggest fans of his gimmick are the little kids, you know? that's the deal.
I would bet that's the case.
Yeah.
I would bet, yeah.
Plus, not only that, Dave, you know, as a little kid, you always want to see what the teenagers and adults are watching. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so you've got the Observer show with your boy Garrett Gonzalez and Brian Alvarez, and what else do you do?
Then I just write all day and watch wrestling.
Okay, don't you have a show with Lance Storm?
No, Brian does. Brian works with Lance Storm.
Okay, yeah, and let me tell you.
I should do a show with Lance Storm. We've been wanting to do a show, an episode together for years. We just have never made time to do it. Someday we will.
Yeah, and so let me tell you, my favorite part is when you get surly on Twitter, especially on Good Friday. You were very surly, and I really doubly enjoyed that you took a religious day and just shot on everybody. So I just wanted to say one more time, I am a big fan of Surly, Dave Gin and Juicing, and Molly Meltzer. And Dave, I want to thank you once again for being on Keeping It 100. Boom!
Okay, we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
All right, peace.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.